Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's be seated. Well, it's several weeks since I was last here. Lord's keeping me traveling around, and I've been doing some very exciting things the last few weeks. We had the annual conference of our churches in Italy, which was a tremendously anointed time. There were over 600 people from all over Italy who were there. Wonderful time in God. Then I was in France for another weekend, and I was doing a leadership conference there, but on the Sunday, we were ordaining a former student who has become a great worship leader there in France, and a youth pastor in the host church where I was ministering. He's now become the sort of associate pastor, but he's also initiated a national youth movement, which is beginning to impact different parts of France. So it's good to hear of one of our former students who was only here about 3 or 4 years ago having that kind of impact. And then last weekend, Caroline and I were in Germany at the Christ Cathedral in Karlsruhe, and that's a place that I go to once a year. And again, it's not only for the local church. People come from all over Germany for that conference. It was a wonderful, wonderful weekend. I spoke on honoring at all the sessions, honoring the Lord. And I've never done that before. I've spoken just at the odd session. But it's amazing how when you get into the scripture, how much there is about honoring the Lord and honoring one another and so on. And it was a very, very, very powerful weekend. And people were saying, what a word in season that was needed in Germany. And I said, oh, it's a word in season for this nation and for every other nation too. So it's been an exciting time. And of course, during that period, this has been published. And I'm really thankful to the Lord that it's fulfilling, as you would expect, fulfilling what he promised. That the initial response has been absolutely amazing. The testimonies that are coming back of how God is using it, how it's revolutionizing a whole lot of Christians' reading of the Word. It's recreating a hunger for the Word in many people. And that's great, and this is only the beginning, because God is speaking more and more of how he is going to use this extensively. So we give him all the glory for that. You have all, of course, got your copies by now. More of that a little bit later. Okay, I'm going to read from this, because what other version would you want to use now? 1 Peter. If we had time, I'd like to read the whole of 1 Peter to you. God has been speaking to me so much in the last few days through this. I'm going to read just a couple of passages. 1 Peter 1, verse 14. You are called to be God's obedient children, and not to give way to the evil desires that marked your lives when you lived in ignorance of his purposes. He who called you is holy, so to please him you are to be holy in all you do, living as one who knows his or her life is set apart for God's purposes and glory. To live such a life fulfills God's written command, be holy because I am holy. You pray to God as your Father, and he judges impartially what each person does. So live in fear, in reverent awe of him, as if you are living as a stranger here on earth, because you belong to his heavenly kingdom. Then if you go on to chapter 3, verse 8, finally, a word to all of you, live together in the church in true harmony with one another. Be sympathetic towards those who are troubled. Love each other as brothers in the same family. Always be merciful and compassionate. and be humble. Never retaliate in a wrong way when others wrong you. Do not insult others, even if they insult you. Instead of reacting negatively to others, bless them, because this is what God has called you to do. And if you bless others, you will yourselves be blessed. For it is written, anyone who desires a life full of love and goodness should refrain from speaking evil of others or in ways that would deceive them. Instead, he must turn away from all that is evil and devote himself in doing what is good and right. He must always endeavor to live at peace with others, for the Lord watches over those who live in right ways, and he listens attentively to their prayers, but he turns away from evildoers. I'm going to tell you a modern-day parable this morning. Jesus never spoke without using a parable, the Scripture tells us. And this is the parable of the Kingdom Faith Airline. So it's a modern parable. And you'll see how we'll get back to what we've just read in the Word. It all began with a conversation that Pastor Clive and I were having over a meal with Pastor Judith from Taunton, who was here for a couple of days this week teaching in the Bible school. We went out for a meal on Tuesday evening, and during the course of the conversation, we began to talk about control. Now, not all of you will be able to think back to the 70s when the move of God began and so on. That was the time when I was at Luton. And it was the time also when new churches began to be formed later in the 70s. And there arose what was called the shepherding movement, or heavy shepherding. And this involved very heavy control of leaders over congregations. And I made a resolution when Kingdom Faith began, or in its embryo form, that we would never, ever, ever allow a spirit of control to have any influence in Kingdom Faith. And that is something I've been absolutely resolute about, because I saw what damage that spirit of control did in so many Christians' lives way back there, 30-odd years ago. However, the leadership has to be in control, but not controlling. And this conversation began when Pastor Judith just sort of said, nobody would like to fly in an aeroplane unless the pilot was in control. You wouldn't even want to ride on a bus unless the driver was in control. That if the pilot of the plane or the driver of the bus is not in control, all the passengers are in jeopardy. It was just a simple thought, and our conversation moved on. But it was like a seed. And ever since Tuesday evening, I've been sort of mulling over this and praying, and God has been speaking to me, actually, through this analogy. So I just want to use it for a few minutes, because it does explain so much about our life together in the body of Christ. If you imagine that every Sunday morning we are airborne in this spiritual jumbo, it has to have a pilot. And the pilot is Clive. He is the one who is responsible for this plane. Now, this plane is not full of passengers. It's full of kingdom workers. So the purpose is for us to fly together Now, of course, there's analogies, you know, always break down at one point. One thing we have to understand is that if you're going to take a flight on an aircraft, you have to be on time. Otherwise, the gate closes and you get left behind. So that, of course, should be the case for this flight. Everybody's here on time, so we can all take off with the Lord together. And we're all going to meet with the Lord as we take off with Him. However, not just in the service, but in the life of the church, because when we come together, we're expressing the life we have together in the body of Christ. There can only be one pilot in charge. Even though in a jumbo you have two pilots, there is the captain and the first officer, and the captain is always the one who is in charge. So it's important that the captain and the first officer and the engineer and the navigator and the others that are up there in the cockpit, they're all working together in unity, and that everybody is really prepared to go along with all the flight instructions. Now, I have flown, I don't know how many times. When my children were young, we used to count the flights, and we got to 1,700 when they were still young and gave up. I suppose something approaching 3,000 times. So I'm very familiar with, you know, the routine of what it means to fly in an aircraft. However, I am not a pilot. So if I was a passenger, I would never assume that all those hours of experience of flying give me the responsibility or have equipped me to take over the flying of the aircraft. I'm very happy when I'm flying to leave that in the hands of the professionals who have been trained, equipped, and know exactly what they're doing. I expect, when I take off, to arrive at the destination. That is always a matter of faith, and God has never disappointed. We've always landed safely, and we've always landed at the right place. And if we continue the analogy in the church, the leadership is there because they are trained and equipped and anointed by God to lead. You would not expect any passengers on the plane to want to take over control of the aircraft. You would not expect anybody to say, "Move over, pilot. I've been in this jolly plane so many times for so many weeks that I think I know better how it ought to run." Hello? You wouldn't even dream of doing that. So, of course, nobody would think that they know better than the leadership as to how to run Kingdom Faith. Would they? No. I mean, it makes common sense. God has anointed and raised up the leadership that are equipped for that task. So that's their responsibility. And everybody goes with the leadership because you want a safe flight. What happens if you get a passenger that causes trouble? Well, the cabin staff will try to restrain that passenger. And there are very strict rules and regulations. And as a last resort, the cabin staff will call the captain, because he is the one with the greatest authority. And so, if necessary, discipline will have to be made to restrain anybody that's going to put the flight in jeopardy. Amen? And we can see that from time to time, that might be necessary in the life of any church. That if there's anybody that is causing disharmony, division, discord within the body, that is something that has to be dealt with for the benefit of the whole body, that we can all move together in love and in unity, as the Word says. What happens if somebody wants to take over, well, that's a hijack, isn't it? And that really does put the whole of the flight in jeopardy, because it's like saying, we want this flight to go to a different destination. We want to take it off its present course onto another course. And the answer to that is no way. That we have the flight plan, which you have to actually have agreed by the authorities before you even take off. And we are going according to the flight plan that our boss has given us. Amen? Amen. And we're going to see that flight plan fulfilled. Now, Richard Branson owns an airline. And he flies on his airline sometimes. So there you have one of the passengers is the owner of the airline. Can he interfere with what the pilot is doing? No way. He's not even supposed to be in the cockpit these days. There's a locked door and it remains locked throughout the flight. He might own it. He might have all kinds of strategies that he wants to work out or he wants to see fulfilled. But when it comes to the safety and security of the flight, it's the captain who is responsible. Amen? Amen. And you know, you can have people that think, well, we should be doing this and this and this and this. Or we should, you know, especially in times like this, need to make economies of this and this and this. But the captain knows, wait a minute. You might say, well, we need an economy to use less fuel, but if we use less fuel, that will put the whole flight in danger. There are certain things that we have to do, certain expenditure that is necessary to keep the whole plane flying. Amen? To keep it on course, to keep it doing what it's doing. Yes, you can make cut downs in staffing levels and all that kind of thing. Clive and I this week have been doing the annual staff review of all the members of staff. This is something we do once a year. And last year, as many of you know, we made some quite dramatic cuts in our staffing levels. And one person after another was saying to us, well, the staffing level has been seriously reduced, but the workload hasn't. The workload is still the same. And so you need to be really grateful to the staff of Kingdom Faith, because I tell you, they are working under such pressure and at such a pace, at such a level now, that it is amazing. There are so many people doing so many jobs instead of just their own job because of those levels. And in the eldership, we've been realizing our staffing levels have got to increase again. Otherwise, we will not effectively be able to do what God is calling us to do. Neither will we be able to grow and develop in the way that God is wanting us to. So those are going to be some challenges for the future. But you see how clearly relevant this analogy is. And I know the thing, you see, that you are concerned about every time you fly, the thing that you want to have absolutely as your number one priority is safety. And you know, every time there's an incident, or the airlines always say, well, our number one priority is the safety of our passengers. And our number one priority is that for the safety and the welfare of everybody who is in the church. But we know that the only way for that safety and security to actually take place is for us to be faithful and obedient to what the Lord is leading us to do. Are you there? So, the only thing that ensures the safety of the flight is everybody doing what they should. Everybody knowing their right place, knowing their right position, knowing their right responsibilities and fulfilling them. Nobody trying to do what others are supposed to be doing. But knowing our place, knowing our responsibility, and seeking with the best that we can to actually fulfill God's call on our lives. Now, this, the Truth New Testament, is your in-flight magazine in this particular church, this particular flight. So, of course, it's there on every seat. Hallelujah. The in-flight food is the Word of God. And every time we take a flight together, you feed on the Word. You are fed on the Word. Of course, in between times, when you're not flying together, you are still eating the Word. Every day you're consuming the Word. But you get a dose of the Word when you come together for our flight together. Now, of course, the purpose of this flight is that we're going to land and work. Now, we don't necessarily land in a different place, but something has happened during the flight so that we land as different people. And that what we want is to fly with the Lord every week so that every week we land and there's something different about us than there was before we took off. So that we've got something new, something fresh, something from God that can flow through our lives and be imparted to other people. That's why everybody on this flight is a worker. And when we're flying together here, we're being equipped for the work that we have to do. And Pastor Clive has just been telling you about some of those works. One of those works is the prayer. Prayer is a work. The monks used to call it the Opus Dei, the work of God. It's the sort of the first priority that we have as Christians is to be praying people. Amen? And praying people who are people of the Word. So I'm not saying anything new that you don't know. I'm just sort of bringing a whole lot of things together. Now, what is important, therefore, is that everybody on this flight is honoring in the way that they need to honor. They honor the pilot, they honor the people up in the cockpit. Even if they don't have personal contact with them, they honor what they're doing because they know that the whole flight could not take place unless they were doing what they were doing. And they were doing it efficiently and effectively. They will honor, of course, those who are serving them, the stewards, the stewardesses. They're thankful for them. We've honored somebody. We've honored one of the servants this morning. It's great to do that. But we should be honoring one another all the time like that, honoring those who are serving us, honoring those who God is using to put anything into our lives, love, help, encouragement, whatever. We honor them because in honoring them, we are honoring the Lord. And then we honor one another. We want unity amongst the passengers. We want there to be a good atmosphere on board this plane. Because, you know, the one thing you don't want to do is open the window or the door. Because as soon as you do that, you let all kinds of danger in and the whole flight could be in jeopardy. Now, sometimes the plane has to go through a time of turbulence. And last year and earlier this year, we as a church went through a time of turbulence. Now, that's okay. What do you do in a time of turbulence? You buckle your seatbelt. You sit tight. And you know that the pilot will take you through that turbulence and you will come out the other side. What the enemy wants to do, of course, is to destroy the flight. We had this week a flight destroyed just off the coast of Brazil. And we can praise God that that did not happen to this flight. Neither is it ever going to happen to this flight. Because we're going to be vigilant in fulfilling the purposes of God. But through those times of shaking, you don't say, I want to get out this plane. You say, no, no, it's okay. This is something the enemy is bringing against us, but he is not going to prevail. We are going to go through this time, and we've come through this time, and I praise God for that. And now we're in smooth airspace, and actually we're moving along with a strong jet stream behind us now. And the amount of things in the last 2 or 3 months that have been growing and developing has been amazing. And that's not only what is happening here. I mean, I've only heard about what's been happening here. But what I've seen happening as I've been moving around other places in Kingdom Faith, and as I see the way that God is honoring our ministry, it is amazing. It is a new season of wonderful blessing. And often that's the case. You come through a time of turbulence into a time of greater fruitfulness, of greater blessing. And God promised us that right at the beginning when the turbulence began. He said, I'm going to take you through this like the mighty warrior, and you are going to come into a season of greater fruitfulness. And you know, there's a tremendous expectation that this camp is going to be so different from other camps. I mean, last year it was different. Last year God did something that was really unique. But I think there's an even greater expectation that this year, I mean, we haven't got a whole lot of visiting personalities, you know, great speakers or anything, but we've got Jesus coming, and we've got the power of the Holy Spirit there, and we've got this jet stream behind us, and we've got the revelation of what God has been doing in our lives and in our hearts. That's all we need. We're going to see, and I'm so thankful to God that although in other camps are experiencing a sort of a 30% less booking in because of the recession, our numbers at this stage are above what they were last year. And I praise God for that. And I thank God for that. We're not going to just be presumptive about that. We're going to continue to pray, continue to believe that we're going to have more people at camp this year than ever before because of what God is doing. And I think this is exciting. You know, it's great to be in a plane, but you are, in a sense, you're trapped there, aren't you? I mean, you can't get out. I was once, a couple of years back, I was really ill on the plane. Nothing to do with the plane. I just, the night before, something, I got some stomach something. But nothing is worse than being on a plane and you don't feel well. The only good thing about that flight was people let me get to the loo before anybody else. They made way for me. Hallelujah. I didn't have to queue up. But you see, that means that we have to work through whatever we have to work through. And yes, if people get sick, we work through it. We believe together. We pray together. We're expecting victory together. We're not going to get off. We're not going to get out. We're not going to sort of move away from the vision that God has given us. You see, when we land, it is possible for you to change airlines. But if you change airlines, you do not reach the destination that God has for Kingdom Faith. You do not see the fulfillment of everything that He's promised us. You do not see, you will not be part of the fulfillment of this great plan and purpose that He has to bless this and other nations. Because it's not our flight plan that we're running with or flying with. It's, I'm sorry, I shan't be able to be at the 5-mile run. I should be away that day. Oh. But somebody will be needed there, I'm sure, to pray for those that finish. But you see, We're in this flight together, and whatever happens to anybody who is part of this flight, part of this body, we are there for one another. We're committed to one another. We're going to see it through together. Somebody's sick. Well, we all are part of the prayer for that person to see them healed and restored and liberated and set free. Amen? It doesn't matter who's going through what. You know, if one rejoices, all rejoice. If one mourns, we all mourn. I mean, it's something, there's that unity between us that means that whatever is happening to one affects the whole lot. And that brings us to just the last part of this analogy that I want to use. The responsibility that every one of us has. Because, you see, if something is not right in a person's life, not because they're sick or something, but through their own fault, they're in sin, disobedience, or whatever, that can affect the whole flight. Other people can be affected without that person even realizing that they're having an effect upon them. Because there's something within the confines of that cabin, aircraft cabin, that is not right. And that's what gives the enemy opportunity. And that should speak to us of the responsibility that we need to be in the right heart attitude. I'm going to read you something. I don't often do this. But as I was going through 1 Peter this week in my daily prayer times, God spoke to me about the kind of spirit, heart, that is beautiful in His eyes. The kind of spirit or heart that God is wanting to form in each one of us. And actually, each one of these things is a reflection of what is said in 1 Peter. And I'm going to read another scripture from another epistle after I've read this, just to sort of round it off. This is what the Lord said. This is just a summary of the whole thing, because there was much more than this spread over 3 or 4 days. A quiet, gentle, submissive spirit pleases me and is beautiful to me, causing my glory to radiate from within the believer. You just imagine that. A quiet, gentle, submissive spirit. Jesus says that He had a humble and gentle heart. It's the same thing. It's having a heart or a spirit after that of Jesus. So this is beautiful to the Lord, causing His glory to radiate from that believer. Such beauty does not diminish with age, but is the evidence of a holy life that pleases me. We just read, didn't we, about being holy as the Lord is holy. That's His will. The one with such a spirit walks by faith with a genuine trust in me, a walk of love where there is genuine love for others. Those with such spirits walk together in true harmony. They are people of compassion and mercy. They do not condemn and judge others, nor do they react negatively to adversity. Their desire is to bless, and so they live blessed themselves. Those who desire to please me overcome temptation. They are able to resist the enemy because they are submitted to me. They maintain their praise of me even in the face of affliction. They have rightly turned their backs on who they used to be and long to be transformed further into my likeness. They exhibit the fruit of self-control because of their dependence on my spirit. They pray effectively out of a relationship of unity with me and therefore with my will and purposes. This is the character that my spirit produces in those who allow Him to do His work in their hearts and lives. They faithfully reveal my grace that works through them for my glory, for the welfare of others, and for their own good. My joy radiates from their lives, and there is a serenity about them that is the result of my abiding peace within them. They know both their lives and their destiny is in my hands. It takes time to develop such godly character. But why does the Holy Spirit live in you? To develop that character in you. This is the character of the Lord Jesus. This is the character of the Spirit. And just listen to something that Paul wrote to the Romans. The church needs leaders who realize the importance of their calling and so devote themselves to the welfare of those they lead. Others are people with great compassion and mercy and so need to be joyful about the way they show God's love to others. For we must be sincere about the way in which we love others from the heart, not simply as a duty. We should hate anything that God regards as evil, but love what he considers good. As members of the same body, we are to be devoted to one another, loving each other as members of the same family. This involves honoring others above ourselves and always being eager to serve the Lord by doing whatever he asks of us and doing it with all our hearts. We are also to radiate joy because we are a people of hope. Whenever we have to suffer affliction, we are to bear it patiently, and we will be faithful in prayer. We will be a people who love to give, sharing our resources with God's people who are in need, and welcoming others into our homes. As members of Christ's body, you are to bless those who oppose you because of your faith. Yes, bless them. Do not resent or curse them. There will be times when you need to rejoice along with those who are happy and blessed, but other times when you will need to share in the grief of those who are mourning. It is an essential witness that we are seen to live in harmony with one another. Such unity is destroyed by pride. So we will not be proud, but willing to show God's love to anyone, regardless of who or what they are. And we will not be conceited. Do not retaliate when anyone offends or hurts you. Make sure that others can see clearly that you do what is right, and always live at peace with others as far as this is possible. There is no point in taking revenge. You are to forgive, my friends, not judge others. That is God's prerogative. He is the only one who can judge, punish, or demonstrate anger, as he himself has told us. He also tells us to feed our enemies if they are hungry, to give them something to drink when they are thirsty. For in giving to them when they least deserve it, you will bring them under conviction of their sin. Never let evil have the upper hand in your life. Rather, let your goodness defeat evil. Now, we listen to those things that the Lord was saying to me through 1 Peter. As we listen to that scripture, we all know, yeah, that's right. That's the kind of spirit, that's the kind of heart that is beautiful in God's eyes. That's the kind of behavior that is righteous before him. And that's what he wants to reproduce in every one of us. So what are we to do? Because it's one thing to know that that's what's right. It's another thing to see it happening in our lives. Well, it's very simple, really. First of all, that's what we've got to desire. To desire to have a spirit like that. Desire to have a heart like that. Because God will not work in you what you do not desire. So you need to desire that quiet, submissive, spirit, submissive to the Lord, therefore knowing your place, fulfilling your responsibility, loving others from the heart, honoring those around you, honoring those who are over you. There's a whole sort of harmonious entirety about what God says. And you can take little bits out and you can focus on that bit, but you always need to see where it fits into God's overall plan. And you see, the Holy Spirit is living in you to reproduce this character. And the more that character is reproduced, the more effective your witness, the more He will be able to use you. The greater channel of His love, of His grace, of His life you become. So that although you may not do things that are essentially very different to what you're doing already, you do them in a different way. And there's a different fruitfulness that comes out of what you do, simply because of the life, of the dynamic, really, of what Christ is doing in you. And the wonderful thing is, my friends, that this growth that takes place within us, we're not conscious of all the time. You know, it's like when you're growing up, you're not sort of conscious of growing. It's all those other people that say, oh, haven't you grown since I last saw you? And you, but you're not sort of conscious yourself of the process of growing. But every now and again, you look at yourself and you say, yeah, well, I'm taller than I used to be or whatever. But spiritually, it's the same. We're not always conscious of that growth. But because we take off with God together here every week, because we are faithfully fulfilling whatever He asks us to do during the week, that growth is taking place. Growth within you personally, growth within the body, not just in size, but growth in the spiritual dynamic. And that enables God to take us further on and on in His purposes and to see the fulfillment that He has for Kingdom Faith Airways. Amen? Let's all stand. Praise God. Now I want you just to, first of all, close your eyes, focus on the Lord. Thank the Lord that He's taken you into Kingdom Faith Airways. That He has called you. He has chosen you. He's given you a place, not just in His kingdom, but in His kingdom here. Because this is where He wants you to work out His plan and purpose for your life. So thank the Lord. And thank the Lord that, as that scripture we read earlier says, you have left behind who you were. And your desire now is to be further transformed into the likeness of Jesus. Why don't you tell the Lord that you want that? You want that quiet, submissive, loving spirit to be reproduced in you, that humble, gentle spirit that was in Jesus. Oh, you'll still be a person of power, you'll still be a person of authority, but the word says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. The more that you have that submitted spirit, the greater the authority with which you will be able to overcome the enemy. So thank the Lord that He is at work in you, that His Spirit lives in you in order to continue that work within you. Hallelujah. Even though you may not be conscious of the growth, thank Him that it's taking place. Thank Him that every time you come here on a Sunday, something is happening within you to promote that growth. Whether you feel anything, whether you experience anything or not, that's not the point. And every day when you pray, every day when you're faithful in setting that time apart to be with God, something is happening in your spiritual growth. You may not be conscious of it. You may not have wonderful experiences. But the very fact that you're there with the Lord, that you're honoring Him by giving Him that time, you are growing spiritually. That growth is happening. Something is happening in your spirit to make you more and more like Jesus. So thank Him that He will give you the grace to honor Him. You see, if you honor the Lord, you will honor Him by giving Him time every day. You won't dishonor Him by saying, well, I'll have a quick 2-minute prayer on the way to work in the car or the train. You will honor Him. You will honor Him. You will set time apart to honor Him. So why don't you agree with God? Yes, Lord, I'm going to honor You. And I'm going to honor You by being part of the prayer strategy. Even if you haven't been before, just make that resolution now. Yes, Lord, I'm going to honor You. I'm going to become part of this because I belong to this flight. I don't belong to another airline with a different kind of vision. I belong to what You're doing here, and I want to fully participate in what You're doing here, and I want to grow in what You're doing here, and I want You to use me more effectively in what You're doing here. And Lord, I know that means that together we can impact not only Horsham, but the nation and even nations. And we give You glory. We give You honor. Why don't you say to the Lord, Lord, I want to be a responsible member of this flight. I want to fulfill whatever You are asking of me. I don't want to cause any disruption and division. I don't want to endanger the flight. I'm not going to be critical of those up in the cockpit. Even if we have to go through a time of turbulence, Lord, I'm going to buckle my seatbelt and I'm going to believe that You're going to take us through. And I thank You, Lord. And if I go through a time of personal turbulence, I thank You that all the others around me are going to be there for me. They're going to be encouraging me and blessing me and loving me and helping me. And I thank You, Lord, that none of us is alone, but we're all together in this flight. Hallelujah. We praise You, Jesus. We bless You, Lord. Praise Your wonderful name. Now, just one more thing. We're going to pray. I want you to keep your eyes closed for a moment and just to listen. While I was in Germany, God gave me a message about the cross and honor. And the essence of this message was simply this, that Jesus did not die for us. You know, if that's all He did, just die for us, somebody could have thrust a sword through Him. But He did more than just die for us. He was dishonored for us. He was dishonored. One of His disciples betrayed Him. That's dishonor. He was dishonored that all His disciples left Him at His time of need. He was dishonored that when He asked them to pray for Him, when He was going through the agony, they all fell asleep. He was dishonored by the fact that one of His closest disciples denied Him 3 times, denied even knowing Him. He was dishonored by the false accusations that were brought against Him. He was dishonored by the way that He was condemned, although innocent. He was dishonored when they spat upon Him, beat Him, lashed Him, pulled His beard out. He was dishonored by having a crown of thorns set on His head. He was dishonored by being nailed to a cross. He was dishonored by those who stood at the foot of the cross and mocked him. He went through all that dishonor, and he put all that dishonor to death on the cross, that we might be set free from everything that dishonors us. So I want you to thank God that he has set you free from the pain of being dishonored in whatever way that has happened. He has set you free so you do not have to live with that terrible sense of being under judgment and condemnation from others, because God has honored you with his presence. God has honored you by putting his Spirit within you. God is honoring you by making that Spirit within you into the gentle, loving, humble, submissive Spirit that he wants you to have. So thank him that he took all that dishonor upon himself, and thank him that he's honoring you with his presence, with his life, with his power. Now Jesus said, whatever you do to the least of these, you do to me. So why don't you say to the Lord now, Lord, I realize that it cost you so much to take all that dishonor onto yourself. So I am not going to join in dishonoring anyone, because whatever I do to them, I do to you. And thank you, Lord, that you bore all that dishonor. So not only am I freed from the effects of those who've dishonored me, but Lord, I do not have to dishonor anyone else. And as your word says, Lord, we will honor one another. Hallelujah. We will honor one another. We will love, care, support, encourage, build up each other. Come on, say this to the Lord and just thank him for the anointing of his Spirit that is at work within you now, that you are going to honor. You're going to honor. And you're going to look for ways in which to give honor. And you're going to honor Pastor Clive. You're going to honor those who are over you in the Lord, those who are serving you week by week in your life groups and in whatever other ways, those who are ministering to you, those who are caring for you. You're going to give them honor. Praise God that this is going to be a house of honor. This is going to be a flight of honor where everybody gets honored. And nobody is dishonored. And we give you all the glory, Lord. We give you all the honor. Come on, let's just lift our hands and praise the Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you, mighty God. Oh, that you suffered all that dishonor to make us a people of honor. Hallelujah. And we are honored by your presence. We are honored by your call. We are honored by the anointing that you have put on our lives. We are honored, Lord, that your love will work through us. Your faith will be expressed in our lives. And you will fulfill everything that you have said that you are going to do in our lives personally and in Kingdom Faith corporately. And we want to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise him. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.